the season to be busy. Make your list, check it twice. Buy, spend, overextend. Blink and you'll miss it. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Christmas, spend less, give more. Take time, slow down. This Christmas, find peace.
This Christmas, find peace. Last week we talked about hope, and this week is the week of peace. I'd like to speak to you this morning concerning that subject. It's rather broad, but I pray that as we move forward in the service today, that God will somehow touch your heart, touch the hearts of every one of us. I pray that our kids who are meeting upstairs also would experience the peace of God. This is the second week of Advent. We are moving toward something we expect. What do we expect? We've set aside a day. It's called Christmas. It's not the day Jesus was born. If you did a real search historically, you'd find his birthday somewhere in nearing the months of April. But the church has set aside December 25th. Made it official. It's been like that for years. And so we celebrate his birth on December 25th. And it's a time that we look forward. Look forward to what? Look forward to a reminder of what he brings. Seems like we've messed it up a bit. Seems like we've twisted it. Seems like we've made it really about someone else other than him. And it gets a little worse, it's seemingly every year. We make it about the giving of gifts and the spending of money and the, as the young lady said in that, the overextension sometimes. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, look at what it says. For to us a child is born. We're going to go back there today in just a moment. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. I'm glad. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Isaiah the prophet tells us in verse 7, look at what it says. It says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Hang on, people. Hang on. You know, things are twisted. Nations are divided. But his government is coming. Amen. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. These were the thundering words of Isaiah the prophet, a prophetic voice of the people of that day. And I love this verse. Look at what he says in chapter 2, verse 2 of chapter 9. He says, the people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah prophesies, Isaiah foretells. We're talking about some 700 years before Jesus was born. And the nation was walking in darkness. But Isaiah speaks. And guess what? One starry night in Bethlehem, 700 plus years later, the child was born. Sometimes when God says something, it may take a while for it to come to pass. But you don't give up. Oh, if Abraham could have understood that lesson, we wouldn't have had the challenges with the life of Ishmael in a religion today we call what? Islam. Only if Abraham would have said, God is capable. But after 25 years, Abraham said, you know, God promised me a son. I think he needs some help. Hagar! Wow, what a mistake. But Isaiah prophesies, he foretells, and he passes on God's truth that what? Messiah is coming. A Savior is coming. A light is dawning. Literally, peace. The Prince of Peace, as Ivan mentioned earlier, is coming. His first birthday. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights. And the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, and it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Isaiah. I wish it was as sweet as when those little kids sing it. Isaiah the prophet, a man of God, 700 years back from the birth. He heralds this message of what? Peace to humanity. Why was there a need for a message? Because the kingdom of Israel is divided. The northern kingdom is where? In captivity. The southern kingdom is doing what? Worshiping idols. Israel, God's chosen people, off on a tangent, worshiping false gods. And what happened was, rather than experiencing the peace of God that Yahweh, Jehovah God, could offer them, they had invited, because of their mingling with other gods, they had invited chaos, they had invited confusion, they had invited conflict. How could a chosen people, the people of Israel, how could they survive with the threat of a nation like Assyria pounding away at them every day? And then, like a baseball batter on deck, there's another nation, Babylon. Modern-day Iraq. See, there's always been conflict over there. Modern-day Iraq standing on deck, ready to slaughter Israel. So how does, you say, well, weren't there a righteous remnant? Yes! God's always had a righteous remnant, but wasn't there a righteous remnant? How is this righteous remnant going to survive? Will God just strike the whole nation in judgment? Or will He offer grace? Will he indeed, as Isaiah prophesied, will he bring a light? Will you turn the light on, God, and show us that you've not cast us aside? In the midst of chaos and confusion and conflict, this is when Isaiah's thundering voice begins to speak those prophecies. For unto us a child is born. Man, they must have thought he was crazy. They must have thought, what? He's thundering his voice. Hang on. For unto us a child is born. In the midst of one group in captivity, the other group bowing down to idols. And yet there's a voice. God's always got a voice. There's a voice that says, hey, you hang on. There's one who's going to be born, and the government's going to rest upon his shoulders, And they'll call him Wonderful Counselor, and they'll call him Mighty God, and they'll call him Everlasting Father, and they will call him, because he will bring peace, they'll call him the Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but this almost seems like a rerun in the 21st century. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? What I mean is, it's not Israel this time. This time it's America. She was raised up a Christian nation. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Now look how far we've moved away. All of our monuments in Washington have scriptures of the living God just embedded in those beautiful buildings. And look what America's done. She was raised up a Christian nation. She even produced her modern-day apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, those God-called men and women proclaiming Jesus. She even stamped on her money, "In God we trust." A Christian nation. Sent her kids to school, starting every day with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Finish that. Join hands, kids. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, the kids would say, our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. This, they probably said, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, kids. Pull out your math books. Man, we've come a long way away from what America used to be. We took prayer out of schools. We did the same thing Israel did. We kick God to the curb. We push Jesus aside. We go in worshiping other gods, inviting other deities into our nation. We took prayer out of school. We stopped honoring the flag. We started being tolerant, politically correct. We welcomed other gods. And in our welcoming other gods, we replaced our peace with chaos. We exchanged our peace for confusion. We made a deal to swap off peace for conflict. The very opposite of peace. Chaos, conflict, and confusion. And that which we have today will only truly ever be solved with not the first coming of the babe born in a manger, but with the second coming. Then and only then will there be peace in Jerusalem and peace in the whole world. What is peace? What is peace? It's defined, according to Webster, it's freedom or a period of freedom from public disturbance. It is defined as a quiet or a calm state of mind. You saw the young lady say, you know what, I'm just going to get away from the streets. And she finally made it back to her home, made her little decoration, put a few ornaments on the tree, grabbed the Bible, and sat on her love seat. That's peace. Quiet, a calm state of mind. Lack of conflict. Peace is also defined biblically. Over 400 times, I looked it up this week, over 400 times in the Bible, the word peace is used. I love it in the Hebrew, shalom. Shalom. Peace. It's the way they greet you on the streets in Israel. Shalom. Shalom. Everywhere you go. And then on the Shabbat, the Sabbath, starting sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. See, we're not even worshiping on the Sabbath day. We're worshiping on Sunday. The true Sabbath is 5 o'clock Friday sundown to 5 o'clock Saturday sundown. That's the Sabbath. You say, well, does it really matter? No, not really, because what did Jesus do? He nailed our Sabbaths to the cross. So it really doesn't matter what day you worship as long as you have in your life a Shabbat, a Sabbath. But I believe God honors us when we look back to his old covenants. And we not only respect them, but we embrace them in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Shalom, shalom, peace. That's what they say to you on the streets of Israel. Peace, what do you mean, peace? Peace twofold. Peace number one, with God. That's God's will for every person sitting in this house. Peace number one, with God. Secondly, peace with others. That's the one we have a hard time with. Peace with God, peace with others. Look at Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, what does justified mean? It's just as if you never did it. Easiest way to remember it. Justified means just as if I'd never done it. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace, shalom, calm of spirit with God. Where does it come from? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this. What are you walking in today? Grace. You've attained grace. Means you're guilty, but when he looks at you, he says, because of the blood of Jesus, you're not guilty. You get to walk in grace where you know you're not righteous, but the Lord looks at you and says, yes, you are. You're one of mine. And Paul reminds us that we've been brought into the right relationship with God when we have peace with God. And it comes from where? Faith in his Son. And he says we gain access, how? Through faith. You never seen God, but you trust that he is. You do it through faith. Now we get to walk in grace and experience peace. Ephesians 2, I'm going back to the King James here. Ephesians 2, verse 8, what do you get? For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is what? It is a gift of God. Right relationship with God is a gift. You get to be correct when you're incorrect. You get to be forgiven when you really don't even deserve forgiveness. You get to be called righteous when you know you're not righteous. Your righteousness, the Bible says, is as what? Filthy rags. But you get to be declared righteous. God has given you and I this wonderful gift of peace. We're free from chaos in our lives. We're free from confusion in our hearts. We're free from conflict in our minds. And he's brought us to peace with God. Many of you sitting in this room today, you've been brought to peace because once you were a drunkard. Some of you were. But you found Jesus. Some of you were bound by drugs, but you found Jesus. Some of you have lied and cheated and deceived, and you ended up in a jailhouse. How many of y'all ever been to jail? Look at the hands. Amen. Praise the Lord that I didn't go to jail. But guess what? I deserve to. I've told you that before. I deserve to go to jail. I'm just fortunate enough, like the ones who didn't raise their hand, that I didn't get caught. Wow. Why does God allow some to get caught and others not to? I don't know. But I've deserved jail before. Whether you got caught or didn't get caught, you still experience what? The peace of God through Jesus. Whether you went to jail or never spent a night there, you are what you are through Jesus. Of course, by grace you've been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, he goes on to say, lest any man should do what? Boast. So the first aspect of it, that means I'm halfway through the message. The first aspect of it is what? Peace with God. The second aspect is peace with others. Peace with others. Romans chapter 12, I love this passage. I always love the style of Paul in this passage here. He uses short, succinct phrases, little one-liners. And he gives these to the church. They're one-liners on how you are to keep peace with other people. He says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't cuss them out. Did you get that? He said, bless them, don't cuss them out. How many of y'all ever wanted to cuss somebody out? Come on, how many of y'all ever did cuss somebody out? A lot of blanks in your sentences, weren't there? Boop, 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 boop. He says, bless those who do what? Persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people who are of low position. Don't be conceited. Verse 17, don't repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. Have you ever said, I can tell you one thing, he might think he got it on me, but he'll get, I'm going to get him back. No, the word here says, don't you worry about evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. In verse 18, I underscored it. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Paul challenges us to make every effort. Have been those times where you just said, you know what? I've done everything, help me, I can do. I'm not going to do anything else. Paul says, make every effort to avoid chaos. Make every effort to avoid confusion. Make every effort to avoid conflict. No drama. You know how some folk are. Some folk just love a fight. Huh? Some people just love a fight. Some people just love conflict. Some people love drama. Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. He says, because there are some relationships that you're just not going to be able to sustain. How many of you have ever had somebody that you just couldn't hang around anymore? Yeah. Some of them that you just had to do what? Sever, cut off that relationship because it was a relationship of tremendous conflict and it just needed to be severed. Get out of my face, get out of my space while I still have some grace. Okay, that's kind of the way we feel. Just let's cut it off. I had to break it down for some of y'all, so you won't get it, okay? And I know some of you are not going to like this, but I'm going to keep on reading. Look at verses 19 to 21. He says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, take him through the drive-thru. Okay. Number one, Chick-fil-A, substitute the fries for the superfood. And let me have one of them large diet frozen lemonades. Have you had them? Man, they're good. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, the whole thing here is, he brought to us the Prince of Peace, and he wants to tell us there are two important areas I want you to experience peace. Number one is peace with me, and then peace with others. If you did a study on the Ten Commandments, you know what you would find? That there are commandments that have things to do with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The Lord your God is a jealous God. And then he shifts gears after he gets everything right between you and him. Then he takes the relationships laterally, and now it's you and others. Don't kill him. Don't steal from him. Don't steal his wife. Don't covet his new boat. Okay? Are you getting this? He takes care of these relationships and then these. Okay? And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us today. This is easy preaching, people. It's just a raw extraction of the word from the page. And it's just communicating to you what the Christmas message really is. If you were expecting jingle bells and shotgun shells, rabbits all the way, that's what my father-in-law sang all the time. It's jingle bells, shotgun shells, rabbits all the way. Where did he get that from? I don't know. But he sings it every year. But if you were expecting jingle bells, I'm not going to give you jingle bells. I'm going to give you hope last week, peace this week, joy next week. Okay. In other words, you can't do these things. You can't treat your neighbors this way. You can't treat your loved ones this way. And your real practice is at home. That's the challenging part. Your real practice is with your children, with your spouse. If you practice there, and some of you say, "Well, you know what? I didn't have a good rehearsal." Come on, anybody? Didn't have a good rehearsal. I'm not doing very well in this area. And then you get to go to work, and you get to round two. Okay. And so God is speaking to us. He's beckoning us today. He's ringing the bell. And he's asking us by the Spirit, would you allow me to bring you peace? Please get this. Guess what? I get to get it before you get it. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching for us. Okay? Preaching for us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And you may not be enjoying it, but I'm liking it. Okay? It's ministering to me. Okay? And I hope it's ministering to you. I hope you're getting this. Because it's what the Holy Spirit is saying. In other words, choose peace. Why? Because you are a receiver of peace. You don't have a right to act a certain way. Because God's not treating you that way. And listen, and I'm going to tell you the gospel truth. This is not prophetic, it's just reality. There are people in this room. You've got some relationships that need some peace spoken to them. You do. How do you know that, Pastor? Because you're a human being. And you've got some people that you need to simply say, Merry Christmas, I am sorry. Whether they give you a jingle bell or not. Whether they wish you back or not. You just need to say, hey man, as we go through the holidays. Because you know, when you face times like we're in right now, we're approaching the end of the year, we're approaching Christmas, you start doing some inner searching, some soul searching, and sometimes things surface that are not pleasant. You got to go through that holiday and smile and buy them a gift. I don't want to spend a dollar on a rascal. I want to give them nothing. You give them a present. One time I had a conflict with the preacher. I've had a lot of conflicts with a lot of preachers. One time I had a conflict with the preacher. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and told me to bless him. And I responded back to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to bless him. And I had to follow not my own feelings. I had to follow what the Holy Spirit said to me. And so I blessed him. I purchased him something. And I presented it to him. And he received it. And there was never any acknowledgement of whether he liked it or disliked it or wondered why I gave it to him or whatever. He never acknowledged it. When I say I presented it to him, not in person, I mailed it to him. Because I knew that he didn't really want me in his presence. Thank God for delivery trucks. Amen. UPS. I sent it to him. Never responded. Now, did I do what I was supposed to do? Yes. Was I expecting something back? Yes. Should you? No. Not if your heart is right. But we're what? We're human. Amen? So we're receivers from God, the peace of God. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government would be on his shoulders. You received a child that was born. You received the son that was given. You received the ability for him to govern your life. You received your counselor. You received your mighty God. You received your everlasting Father. And on this second week of Advent, you have received your Prince of Peace. And I would ask you this morning that if you would just stand as Richard comes to the keyboard, you would just stand. And if you would just join me, I know what some of you are saying. Some of you are saying, look at my watch, man. Is this true? It's 11 o'clock. You will notice a shortening of our services. It's intentional. Now, if the Holy Spirit just shows up and wants to do something very, very special and we're 1 o'clock getting out of here, that's okay. That's quite all right. But yes, we have asked ourselves the question, how can we sharpen? How can we be more effective? And one of the things that we came up with was, let's trim the service just a bit and allow more time for right now. Allow more altar time. Just allow more altar time. So I'm asking you, if you would just come and stand in his presence, and before the first person moves, let me just tell you why you're coming. You are coming because you want to say, Lord, thank you for my relationship with you, for being my Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, when I don't deserve to be your child. You have received me. And then laterally, you're saying, Lord, help me with my relationships. Help me with the guy that I work with. Help me with the people that I serve with. Help me with my neighbors. And let's get real deep here. Help me with my brother, my sister, who's just trying to steal mom and dad's inheritance. Some of you are feeling that way. They just want money. Help me with my relationships. Help me my relationships with my children. Help me my relationship with my spouse. That's all you're saying as you come to this altar today. No embarrassment. How about you? Are you having trouble? Raise your hand. Are you really thinking about, you know, quitting here? Raise your hand. No. You're all facing challenges with relationships. So just come as we sing, Happy Birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. Thank you, Lord. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, but it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. One more time. Happy birthday, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and love him, would you? I'm so glad it's Christmas. tinsel and lights, and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Can we do it one more time? Happy birthday. Come on, worship Him. I'm so glad it's Christmas. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights. The real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, but it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Now, if I could have my ministers that are here today, if you would, and Noli, grab some oil there. If you are here today and there, you know, you say, man, Pastor, I'm in the crowd, but I just have a special need. Would you make your way right to the very front, and would you just allow a moment for someone just to anoint you? You may be here at this altar this morning, and there may be sickness in your body. Elders, if you would, yes. There may be sickness in your body. You may say, Pastor, yeah, I'm struggling in that relationship area, but can I just bring something specific to the attention? And you may just need someone to touch and agree. If any two shall agree as touching any one thing, then it shall be done. The oil's right there on the post there, Noli. Right there on the post, behind the post there. Just make your way to the front. Let someone agree with you. The Bible says, if any two shall agree as touching any one thing, it's a done deal. It's just a done deal. God is going to answer. So let's spend these next few moments just seeking Him. Just move to the front. All the frontliners, we're just going to anoint you and pray for you. So if that's an indication for you, just move to the very front, right there closest to the bottom step. And let us pray for you today. Let me pray a collective prayer as these are anointing individuals. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, the Messiah, Lord, I come to you today just thanking you that you are the one that arrived. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. You are the one that arrived in Bethlehem on that starry night. I thank you, Father, that your promise was fulfilled, that even though your chosen people, Israel, have been attacked some 42 times, you are still moving. And you're going to have your way. And you are going to come back again a second time. That's the reason that we're here with hope. That's the reason that we're here enjoying the peace, because we know that we are following your great book, the Scriptures. And Lord, I praise you today because you are going to fulfill your promises. And I thank you, God, that all is calm and all is bright, even though for some of us it may not seem that way. All is calm. All is bright.